Praise the Lord. Well, how many of you excited to hear the Word of God tonight? Amen. Me too. I always like coming to church, even if I am preaching. You never know what's going to happen at church. Like if you were here this morning, wasn't that something else? Amen. Praise the Lord. And we just thank God, you know, for having great leaders and then also being trained right to know when the move of the Spirit's happening. You just let it go, right? You move with the Spirit. Didn't Pastor Bill do a great job preaching this morning also? Give him a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, if you got your Bible tonight, I want you to turn over to 1 John chapter 4. And I want to talk tonight about something. This truth, I believe, will help. It'll change the way we live every day, not just Sunday. This truth will change how we live every day. And, you know, thank God, you know, it was interesting. I had this sermon ready, and then we had the move of God this morning. But, you know, we don't have to try to get God to move or try to get God to show up, because the New Testament reveals something that's even greater. Now, thank God for the manifestations like we had today. How many of you know we don't have that every day? Don't have that every service. But you know what? We don't have to try to get God to move. God has already moved. I want you to think of it this way. Think of that word moved. God has already moved. Where's he moved? He's moved in you and in me. Tonight I want to talk about something that I think will help us and strengthen our faith, and that is being God inside minded. God inside minded. And that's what I said. God has moved. How many of you know God's presence and God's glory used to reside in a temple made with hands? Moses' tabernacle in the wilderness. David's tent in Jerusalem when he brought the Ark of the Covenant. Solomon's temple. Herod's temple. Above the mercy seat, God's presence would dwell. But thank God something happened when Jesus died. That veil that held that presence of God away from people. That only one time a year could a high priest, and that not without blood, enter in and even get in the presence of God. Sometimes there'd be manifestations of God's presence. You know, in the Old Testament, the glory of God would show up, a pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day for the children of Israel. Solomon prayed at the dedication of his temple, and the glory of the Lord showed up. The presence of God showed up. Everybody fell to their face, men, women, and children in that presence. There was times that would happen. But yet, only once a year, by the time Jesus had come, you know, they were so far away from about having a relationship with God. But God has done something because of what Jesus has done. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You are of God, little children." Say that, "I am of God." You know, that's something. I'm kind of breaking out a new Bible here. Don't have a lot of notes in this one. But thank God it's laid out like my other one. I don't know. They quit making this one, so I'm going to hang on. You know, I'm hanging on here. Glory to God. He says, "You are of God." I've got that written in my Bible. I am of God. Hallelujah. "He, little children, and have overcome them." He's talking about these spirits of the world, even the spirit of Antichrist. You know, people getting all worked up about end times and talking about the Antichrist. You know, we've overcome him. I don't care how big and bad the devil thinks he is. I don't know how big and bad the Antichrist is going to want to be. Even if we are here and the Antichrist shows up, we've overcome him. Amen. Come on now, through Jesus. He said, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because look, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Say this, greater is he that is in me. Notice that, greater is he. The greater one is in us. He's not coming to us. He's in us. He's not visiting us. He lives in us. He's in me. He's in you if you're a child of God. You know, this was something that I don't think the devil had any idea was going to take place. Look over in Colossians chapter 1. Paul talked about a mystery. A mystery. I mean, even the Old Testament prophets, they'd looked into this, but it wasn't revealed to them as it is to us now. The veil, as it were, that's read over about the scriptures is taken away in our day by this presence of God on the inside of us. There's a mystery that was hidden from the ages Paul's talking about here, talking about this dispensation of God that we are in that has never existed in the history of the world until now, until Jesus came and rose again. And that is verse 27. It says, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, notice this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say it again, Christ is in me. The greater one is in me. See, God came to live on the inside of us. And of course, even among the Gentiles that came to know Jesus Christ. See, but why is that a mystery? Well, because under the old covenant, the Spirit of God dwelt inside nobody. He came upon people, prophets, priests, and kings, temporarily, so they could stand in the office they stood in. But the Spirit of God didn't dwell on the inside of anyone. But now, glory to God, He lives in us permanently. He's in us. He's in you. If you're a born again child of God, God is in you by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This has always been God's will. He told them in the Old Testament, He said, this is what I want to happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, talking about not being unequally yoked. He talks about the difference between the believer and the unbeliever, the righteous and the unrighteous, the light and the dark, and the believer and the infidel. And he gets to verse 16, 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment here. You remember when Jesus said, you know, they were there in Jerusalem and they said, oh, look at this temple, Herod's temple. Isn't it magnificent? He said, you know what? I'm going to tear that down and in 3 days I'm going to rebuild it. Well, he wasn't talking about a brick and mortar temple. He wasn't talking about something made with hands. He was talking about the building of God, that God was going to build a dwelling place for Himself. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And as Peter said, we are living stones. Each one of us is a living stone in God's temple that He's building. And no longer does that presence of God shut up behind a veil in a man-made temple above a man-made ark. That's a picture of what of the Holy of Holies in heaven, but it's still man-made. Now the presence of God is in us. We are the temple of the living God. He's in us. He's in us. He says, keep reading there. He says, as God has said, notice this, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Well, did God lie about it? No. So guess what? God's dwelling in us. Not only that, He's walking in us. What does that mean, walking? He's alive in there. Like Brother Hagin said, what's God doing in there? What's the Holy Spirit in you? Just hitchhiking a ride through life? No, God's in us. He's dwelling in us. Now think about it. You know, on the day of Pentecost, there it says they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing mighty wind. And the Bible talks about the Spirit of the Lord sat on them, and there was a fire on them. Now, you know, people kind of, you know, trying to think what that looked like, you know. Have you seen that picture where they're there in the upper room, and there's that little Bic lighter flame above their head? No, that's not what happened that day. That glory that dwelt above the mercy seat in the temple, that presence of God that was a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, that glory that you could not go in and see. No one could see it except that high priest once every year. That glory came and sat on them. The presence of God. He's in us now. We are the temple. Not only, you know, the Amplified there talks about not just individually, but corporately. You're not just a believer. You are the dwelling place of God. Whoo, glory to God. Think about this. We don't just have a relationship with God. We have God living in us. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. He's in us. So think about this. Think about this. If God is in me, the greatest battle I'm facing is not something external. It's internal. It's my thinking. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Back up a chapter there. Look at verse number 7. What's he say? Now remember, he said God's walking in us, but he says here, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, there's two ways to live. There's to live according to our senses, live according to our flesh. You know, what we can see, what we can hear, touch, taste, and smell. We can live according to our senses. Now listen, let me say this. God gave us those senses. Thank God for them. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you hear people talking, Christians talking about, they got the mighty Holy Ghost, the greater one on the inside of them. And you hear them say, well, I don't feel too strong today. Or they look at a situation and say, this looks impossible. Or they'll say, I just don't know what to do. When the Bible said, if you need wisdom, let him ask of God. See, that's being sense-minded. But when we're God inside-minded, no matter how I feel, I say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The greater one's in me. God's working in me right now. I have what I need in me. See, being God inside-minded is learning to partake and to drink of that living water that's in us. You know, being sense-ruled is leaning on myself rather than trusting in the Lord. Look, go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Let's look at a verse here. Hallelujah. You know, we don't have to, I hesitate saying this because then I'll end up preaching a long time, but I'm flying through my notes, so that's all right with me. Hallelujah. I've been excited about this subject for a while. Hallelujah. I know teaching on Jehovah Shammah the other day in class, the Lord is near. Talking about the Lord is near. We're going to get to it, but I mean, dear God, if God's near me, and when he's not just near me anymore, he's in me, how nearer can he get than being in us? The Lord is near. That's one of the pillars. That's one of the cornerstones there of that new city that Ezekiel talks about there in chapter 48, that the Lord is near. It's one of the foundations that God is in us. Hallelujah. That greater one is in us. God before me, who can be against me? Glory to God. Here in Proverbs chapter 3, you're familiar with these verses, verse 5 and 6, said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Notice that. Trust in the Lord and acknowledge him. Not outwardly, inwardly. Where does he say? Trust in the Lord where? With all your heart. That's the inward man. Not outwardly. Don't lean to your own understanding, my own thinking. I'm not limited to my own thinking, glory to God. I'm not limited to my own abilities, glory to God. How many of you glad about that? Amen. You husbands and wives, you're not limited to your own ability to raise your family. You're not limited. You've got God on the inside of you. We've seen God bring us through situations and looks like areas of lack, you know, and you go back, it's interesting. Sometimes, you know, you think, I don't know how, and going back, we don't know how did we make it. I don't know how we paid our bills, but God, amen, but God. I know when talking every time we have a college weekend or something like that, we've got students in here. I talk to them about practical things. I say, potential students, I said, listen, I said, here's some practical things, but just don't, listen, if you have to figure it out and it doesn't make sense on paper, that doesn't mean God's not telling you to come to Rhema. Because, you know, there's enough of you in here that came to Rhema. How many of you had all your ducks in a row when you showed up? I mean, were you trusting God? Dear Lord, same story is happening today as when you came. It didn't look like, you know, it didn't look like there's any way you're going to make it. Come on. I see Chris out here. Chris moved here. Did you move here from New York?
Yeah, New Jersey, New York.
To Tulsa. You had to think you were coming to a foreign country, my brother. Brother Bill, am I true? Is that true from New Jersey, New York? Yeah. Broken what? Oklahoma? I know when I decided to come to Raymond, you know, I had one more year of eligibility left. I was playing college basketball, and I just the call of God got so big, I had to leave that behind. I didn't mind leaving the basketball behind. I really was hurt leaving the college golf behind. That's what hurt me, you know, thinking about that. But, you know, I got saved between my freshman and sophomore year in college, June 30th, 1980. And I just the call of God by the summer of 82, and that fall, by that end of that term in 82, I was a junior. I knew I had to come to Raymond. I knew I had to. I fought with it all summer. We came to camp meeting in 82. I hadn't filled out an application. I had filled it out the year before and was accepted, but I didn't come. I went back and I thought, I'm gonna give this one more year, you know. But that summer of 82, I knew I had to come. But I was just fighting it. Well, I filled out the application there right during camp meeting, sent it in and got accepted and was out here. Glory to God. But just you know, thinking about, you know, just giving that up and coming here. I didn't know how it was gonna work out. I thought I knew in 1980 there, I knew shortly after that God had called me to teach. So I was trying to get an education degree, you know. And I was going to do like, you know, I was, my uncle is in the Hall of Fame at the Illinois High School Basketball Coaches Hall of Fame. I was going to kind of follow that way. My oldest cousin, his son was thinking about going that way. He ended up being an accountant and doing that. But I was going that direction. But it was the wrong teaching. I thank God I use a lot of the stuff that I learned in those education classes. And if it with the where I, you know, having no idea I'd be in the position I am now, but here at the college here. But I knew I had to get here. I didn't know how it was going to work. Don't know how. I thank God for my mom and dad. You know, they helped me. They helped me as I go through school. Help big time financially. Helped, you know, every piece of furniture I had, anything I had was from them and with them. I brought them here, and the Mandy came. We weren't married yet, but she came out to my graduation, her and her family, and that next morning when we were packed up, we were headed out of here. I didn't think I'd ever darken the door of Rhema Bible Training Center or college again in my life. I was out of Broken Arrow. Amen. You know, even coming from Central Illinois, you come to Oklahoma, you're like, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for you local Oklahomans or whatever you are. Okies. All I knew was the song. I'm an Okie from Muskogee. That's about all I knew about Oklahoma at the time. Amen. But God. But thank God. You know, one of the things learning that God was in us. But if you only live by what you feel, you're not going to obey God. Think about this. If I live by what I feel, I'm going to be up one day and down the next. How many of you know feelings are a roller coaster? Oh, yeah. You're living, but even as you live by faith, your feelings will go up and down on you. But if I live by who's on the inside of me, I'm going to stay steady. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to have victory. I know as a youth leader, and I tell the students, I never was a youth pastor. I believe there are people called to be a youth pastor. I wasn't. But you know, when you're in ministry, you know, I never had a contract. I never even really at that time had a job description. But you just understood it was other duties as assigned. And I was assigned to lead the youth group. And I did that for 3 years there right out of Raymond. I was the associate pastor. I was the youth leader. And I was the worship leader. And after 3 years, I went to the pastor and said, I think we really need to find a youth pastor here and get somebody in here because I'm about ready to kill some teenagers. And then I said, and I'm starting with your two sons because they were in my youth group. But I know in dealing with the teenage, you know, with teenagers, and this is true, but I've noticed it's true with adults sometimes too. They live life up and then they're down and up and then they're down. And I was like, Lord, I got to know, how do I help? And I had the Lord say this to me. Where? On the inside, like he speaks to every Christian. You know, he's in there. He's in there. Start listening on the inside. Learn how to hear him on the inside of you. Quit waiting, trying to find something you think spectacular out here, God talking to you out here. You know, out here, this realm is the sense realm. God only does that if he can't get your attention. Amen. You remember the prophet? He's trying to hear God. He thinks he's in the storm. He's not in the storm. He's in all this different stuff. It was that still, small voice. God speaks to us on the inside. Every one of us, every child of God down in here. He said, look, he said, you stay steady. He said, because whether or not they're going up or coming down, they'll know where to find you. Well, that's because that's how God is. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not up one day and down the other. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. Hallelujah. Faith, listen, faith does not consult feelings. It responds to the indwelling God. It didn't matter how I feel about it. It doesn't matter. Now, I got a question for all you married folks. Now, be careful how you answer this, especially you guys. Be careful. I'm way up here, so I'm safe right now, okay? Hey, married folks, husbands, wives, do you feel married every morning you wake up? You feel? I mean, do you just feel, you know? It doesn't matter how you feel. That's right, Wanda. See, Wanda's over there. Wanda, I got a snap from Wanda. A snap and a point. It doesn't matter how you feel. You're married. Listen, a lot of folks, listen. Well, I just don't feel like being married anymore. You said I do. Listen, you single folks, I do is it. Don't say I do unless you're willing to be it. I'm not going to get through my notes now, I can tell, because I got wandered way over here. I got to swim back to the shore here in a little bit. But you know, this is, we do, I talk to people, of course, talk to students about getting married, that type of stuff. And hey, marriage, it's great. Yeah. But don't get married guys. And I can see some of you in here that, man, and I actually did some of your premarital. But I teach this in class. We're talking about Ephesians 5 there. It talks about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And did what? Gave his life for them. So listen, gentlemen, if you're not willing to lay down your life for your wife and your family, then don't get married. Well, I need a wife to do certain things. You're not ready to get married. Ladies, if you're not willing to submit your husband as the church submits to Christ, you're not ready to get married. Well, I got needs. Go ahead, Brother Tad. You're helping me. Keep preaching, man. Amen. And then, you know, I know some people, well, I just don't understand. You know, I don't understand. Well, I'm going to tell you, this isn't a blanket statement, all right? I'm not making an absolute statement here. And maybe this is maybe more my opinion than it is, but I think I've got enough on it. Enough behind it from God to say this. Sometimes the reason you haven't found him or her is because you're not him or her yet. I've had them. Listen, I've had them in my office. I've had them in my office with their list. Their list of all these things that this dude has got to be, all these things. I told one young lady, I told her, the Lord Jesus Christ himself could not be all those things to you. I wanted to say, and what is it about you that thinks you deserve this? I didn't say that. You know, you got to control your thoughts sometimes, you know. Take that thought captive. Ooh. Find Philippians chapter 2. Amen. That's good. I'm not taking any of it back, all right? But see, if you live God inside-minded, then you let the love of God control you, the agape love of God that doesn't even take account when someone does it wrong. You know, husbands and wives, let me give you one more thing. You know, right before it talks about wives, submit to your husband, husbands love your wives, it says stay spirit-filled. If your spouse, if you guys are, if it's agitating, if you're getting agitated with what your spouse is doing, you're not full up of the Spirit. You're not drunk enough. You ever been around drunk people? I have to admit, I was raised, our family didn't drink. I've never been drunk in my life, okay, on alcohol. But you ever been around, I went to college, so hey, you know, I was, you know, before we had official designated drivers, I was designated, you know, get a hold of Tad, he'll help, you know, he'll get you, whatever. You know, drunk people just don't notice all that stuff. Stay drunk on the Spirit, man. Just keep drinking. Keep drinking in the Spirit of God. Amen. Some of you are like, what in the world did I come to tonight? All right. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's working in us. Amen. God is working in us. He's where? In us. In us. So God's working in our will. He's working in our actions. He's working in the direction that we go right now. There in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, he talks about now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Where's the power? Say it. That power is in me. Where is it? In me. Not around, not just around us. I mean, the power is around us this morning. But that didn't make it any less. That's not any more power that's in us. Well, think about this. If the power is in you, you're not empty. Well, I just feel so empty. The power's in you, you're not lacking. I just feel so, you know, people talk about, I just feel so inadequate. Well, you got the adequate one in you, glory to God. He's the more than enough. If the power's in you, then you're not without help. I want you to think about it this way. We are filled with divine ability. Divine ability. God's power. You know, how many of you have ever flipped a light switch before and turned a light on? Why? Because the electricity was already there, right? It was already there. The power's already there. But you have to flip the switch. Brother Hagin talked about that. Keep the switch of faith turned on. You don't need more power. Listen to me. Here's the thing. A lot of Christians want more power. Oh, Lord, send the power. Send the power down. Send the power just now, Lord. We don't need more power. We need more awareness of the power that's already in us. That's when everything changes. I quoted before. Look over at Hebrews 13. I started to quote it. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your lifestyle, conversation means lifestyle, be without covetousness. See, covetousness is wanting what somebody else. I don't need what anybody else has got because I've got God. See, and be content with such things as you have, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men would do to me. See, God's helping us right now. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. I mentioned that to you earlier, where God talks to us. God leads us. He's not bringing confusion. He's not bringing pressure. He's bringing by his inward witness. Think about what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. How are we being strengthened by Christ? On the inside of us. See, the answer is already here. The power you need is already on the inside of you. What more do you need than the Spirit of God on the inside of you? See, when the Spirit of God came upon Jesus, he was anointed with power who went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil. That same Spirit's in us. Amen. So when pressure comes, I don't look to the outward first. I look inward. When decisions come, I don't panic. I listen on the inside. Now, here's a big one that trips up a lot of folks. When challenges come, I don't confess and speak weakness. I confess and speak the greater one. When we get to this place, we're no longer just trying to get through life. We're releasing the life of God that's already in us. I'm just not trying to survive. I'm just not trying to survive. Say it out loud. God lives in me. Say, the greater one is in me. God is working in me right now. I have divine ability within me. I can do all things through Christ. Say that one again. I can do all things through Christ. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ. Amen. See, you can't talk like that. You start talking the word like that, and faith rises up from the inside and gets in your mouth, and you start declaring what God says about it. And something happens. The problem as my voice changed, 65 years old going through puberty. The problem is, you didn't know that. I must be being renewed like the eagle. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Me and Peter Brady. Some of you have no idea what that's about, but some of you do. Glory to God. What was I talking about? Faith rises up in your heart, up into your mouth. And when you start speaking like that, you're not thinking about your problems. The problem just dissolves right in front of you. It didn't mean it goes away. It's still, but I mean, your thought life begins to change. I mean, when you start just saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's not one thing I can't do because Christ is in me. I can do all things, Lord. Hallelujah. I can do all things. I can obey you in this, and I can do it because Christ is in me. Thank God the power of the Spirit's in me. Father, you can do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think according to that power that's working in me. The greater one's in me. Greater than is he that's in me than the hatred that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than the poverty that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than the turmoil going on, than the anxiety in the world. Greater is he that's in me. He's in me. Not listen, he is the greater one. I'm not talking about how great Tad is. Greater is he. Greater is he. Hallelujah. He's in each one of us. But we have to keep looking to the inside. Look on the inside. He died and rose again for us. And he offers us life. Not just, listen, he didn't ask us just come be with him. He came to be in us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, don't spend time trying to find God. Don't spend time trying to get God to move. Walk in the truth that God is already in you, and he's going to work through you. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we, your people, will walk out of here God inside minded. We'll think differently. We'll speak differently. We'll live differently. We'll walk in victory because we know the greater one lives in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Say it one more time. God is in me. The greater one is living in me. Let's all stand up together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Give him praise in this place. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The greater one is in us. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I hear the greater one saying this. I hear him saying that there's people right now, you're here, listen, you're here in this congregation. Even some might be listening. You're thinking, I've got an impossible situation. But what you don't know is the greater one's already working on your behalf. And if you'll listen to him, he'll give you each step to take, each time to make a change, each thing to do, each attitude to take, each thing to say. Because he's in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And his pleasure is to cause you to prosper in everything you do. He wants your family to prosper. He wants your marriage to prosper. He wants you to be fully supplied in every area. Every area. Listen to him. He's already at work on your behalf. Do what he says to do. Think about the situation from his point of view, not your senses. Look to him, and he will bring you through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Praise God. Father, thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you need prayer for anything, come on down, ladies, to the ladies, men to the men. When we dismiss here, they'll pray with you, because they'll pray with you from the Word of God. That's where our answers lie. Glory to God. Don't forget, be here Wednesday night. Hour of Power. We'll see you then. Don't forget YA tomorrow night for those of you that are of that age. And of course, I know the Regal ladies have. Tomorrow night's the last night for the Regals this year. This year's gone by fast. This school year. Glory to God. All right. 4 weeks from now, we have graduation here at Rhema. I invite you to be here. All right. God bless you. Have a great night.